We want to turn to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, we'll find our text in verse 25 this morning. It says, Galatians 5, verse 25, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. I want to take a little phrase this morning. Let us also walk in the Spirit. Let's look to the Lord and ask for His help. Father in heaven, we come to Thee in the great name of the Lord Jesus. We praise You, Lord, for the hymns we've been singing together. And I pray Thou will lead us today, even in our sermon. Thou will lead us all through the Scriptures of truth. And Thou will bless these words to the hearts of all of Your people. Indeed, Your word will change us, Lord. That Your word will conform us more and more into the image of Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. I ask You to give me Thy Spirit to proclaim Thy word. I ask You, Lord, that You'll give Your Spirit to Your people to hear Thy word and to understand the message today. I ask You that all things will be said for Thy glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. Most of the congregation know that over the last few mornings I've been here, we've been looking together at the little phrase that's found many, many times in the Bible. Let us. And we notice together that these words instruct us as God's people what we are to do together. For God's people are one people, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, born of the Spirit of the living God. God brings all of His people, no matter where you're from, no matter your background, when you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, He brings you into His family. And we're in the family of God. And I ask you just before we move on, are you in the family of God today? Do you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you trusted Christ as your own and your personal Savior? Then that being so, then let us do things together. And we noticed together we went to Bethel. Let us go up to Bethel. We learned all the lessons about going up to Bethel, getting right with God. Then, of course, we let us pray, because God's people are to be a praying people. We are to come together in the house of prayer. We are to pray at home, privately. Then on Christmas morning, we went up to Bethlehem. Let us go up to Bethlehem. Then last week, we noticed, let us run the race. And we got into a race last week. Hebrews 12, verse 1 says, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Every child of God in this meeting, every child of God in this world, we're in a race. We're running a race. We noticed last week we are to start this race correctly. We are to repent and believe the gospel. We notice that there are many people will come to Christ at the very end, and they says, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And the Lord Jesus will say, depart from me, I never knew you. And the reason was this. They didn't start the race correctly. They started wrong. So we've got to get into this race. Let's start it right. Let's repent and believe the gospel that is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we learned about the style of the race. Let us run with patience. It's not easy. It's difficult. There are times there are many things against the child of God as we seek to live for Christ in this world. God has never promised us an easy race. We know there's different lessons about that race and why it's difficult. And then we noticed the secret. What's the secret of running the Christian race? Looking on to Jesus. That's the secret. This is the secret for myself. This is the secret for every child of God. How can you get through your struggles? How can you get through difficulties? How can we persevere? Well, the Bible tells us, looking on to Jesus, keep your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. He'll help you through the race. That was only one of the secrets. Of course, you lay aside every sin and every weight. And then we notice you were to train. I'm not talking about getting the weights out or getting your shorts on and out running. You can do that, of course, if you like. But reading your Bible, exercising yourself unto godliness. And then we notice about the success of the race, how we shall receive a crown of righteousness. And I don't know about you, every a child of God in this meeting. We want to hear at the end of our life, when we come to the finishing line, well done, thy good and faithful servant. That's the well done we want to hear. Not from people, but from the lips of the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. We want to hear those words. So, let's run. How have you been running in the past week? Have you got the secret? Have you said, well, last week's sermon helped me how to run the Christian race? How to live the Christian life? I'm looking on to Jesus. And I say that again to you. That's the secret. The psalmist said, I have set the Lord always before you. Now that's just what we've been doing for those who's visiting with us today in our service. Now this morning, we're not going to run. We're going to walk. We're going to slow the pace down in a sense. Because here the Apostle Paul writing to this church, who he was warning them about turning back to the law. He wanted them to continue by faith. He wanted them to continue, of course, in the Spirit of the living God. And he says the words of our text in verse 25, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And so he tells these people to walk. Now notice how he tells them to walk. He tells them to walk in the Spirit. How are you and I to walk in this world? How are we to live for Christ in this world? Well, I say to you, let us also walk in the Spirit. And this is what we're going to look at here this morning, as God enables us, about walking in the Spirit of God. Now, there's a number of lessons I want to bring out of this. So first of all, can I say, to walk in the Spirit of God, you must know something of the fullness of the Spirit of God. As the words of our text suggest, the Christian is one who is walking in or by the Holy Ghost. And if a child of God is ever going to walk in the Spirit of God, it stands to sense that he or she must know something about the fullness of the Spirit of God in their life. In other words, he, the Holy Spirit, is the one who's over our steps. The one who is controlling our ways and our steps in this world. We must know something of the fullness of the Holy Spirit to walk in the Spirit. That stands to sense. How can it be done? How can I say to you today, I want you to walk in the Spirit of the living God, if you don't know what it is to be filled with the Spirit of the living God? If you want to walk in the Spirit, then you must be filled with the Spirit. This fullness of the Holy Ghost, can I say it to you, first of all, has been commanded in the Bible. When the Apostle Paul was writing his letter to the church at Ephesus, he said these words to him in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18. And they're well-known words, I no doubt, to every child of God in this meeting this morning. He says, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And Paul, writing to these believers, he said, here is a command. Here is a command from God. God commands that you be filled with the Spirit of the living God. And you can see this command, it's an imperative move. It means that it is a command, not an option. He's not saying to these believers, well, you can think about these things. If you want to do this, then that's fine, that's okay. But that is not the case when we come to the words of Ephesians 5 and verse 18. He says, be filled. It's a command, really, from the very courts of heaven. That you and I, that every child of God, will be filled with the Holy Spirit. In fact, when you read the book of Ephesians, you will read there are many commands given to the believers. In chapter 4, verse 2, of course, they were commanded to forbear one another. They were commanded to keep the peace. They were commanded to speak the truth in love. They were commanded to put off the old man and put on the new. You can go right down the list there in Ephesians chapter 4. And when the Apostle Paul gets to chapter 5, he says, be filled with the Spirit of God. Now, this is a command that he's given to his people. The same God that said to put off the old man and put on the new. The same God that said, be ye not to be angry and sin not. The same God that told them in this particular passage that they were to love one another. He says, be filled with the Spirit of God. And so it is a command to all of God's people that the Spirit of God controls us. That we be filled with the Spirit of God. Now, if that is the case, it is disobedience if we are not filled with the Spirit of God. This command comes to all of God's people. And if you're not filled, it's a sin. Like, it's a sin to steal. It's a sin to curse. It's a sin to tell lies, and we can go on in those different ways. Surely then, it is a sin if God is not controlling my life. If I am not filled with the Spirit of the living God, then truly I must be sinning against God. This command is also in the present tense. It means to be filled now or to be continually filled. A command for today. A command for tomorrow. A command for the next day. It means to keep on being filled with God's Spirit. And I say to you, this command is for all of the children of the Lord. Because there may be some people in the church says, well, he's writing to the elders of the church. He's writing to the deacons of the church. He's writing to the minister of the church. He's saying to these people, well, you need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And that is true, of course. Some people may say, well, this particular command, it's not for me. I'm just a father in the home. I'm just a mother in a Christian home. That's where you would be wrong. That's where you would be so wrong. Because this law is for all of us. You can see that in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1, when Paul was writing his letter. He says, to the saints which are at Ephesus. And notice he did not say here, well, it's to the deacons or to the elders. Or he's not saying, well, it's to the minister. He says to the saints. Now, what did he say? He said, be filled with the Spirit of God. And so if you and I are ever going to walk in the Spirit, then you must obey the command to be filled with God, the Holy Spirit. That stands to sense. We need the fullness of the Spirit of God to enable us and to help us to walk in the Spirit of God. And can I say also, not about the command of the fullness, but think about the conditions for the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Let me ask the question today, well, how can I obtain this? How can I obtain being filled with the Spirit of God? Now, I'm not going down the charismatic route, because we don't believe in that at all. A lot of nonsense taking place today. As a young Christian, I fell in with some people from the charismatics, and they put their hands on my head and tried to get baptized me with the Holy Ghost and all the rest of it, and it never happened. I'm really glad it never happened, but it's not true. The Bible tells us how to be filled with the Spirit of the living God. And if I want to walk in the Spirit, then I want to know how. How can I get this power in my life? How can I know that the Holy Spirit, I can know His fullness in my life so that I can walk with Him? Well, the Bible tells us, of course, how you get receive the Spirit of God. You pray. You ask the Holy Spirit to infill you. You get on your knees and say, Lord, I want you to do something for me today. I'm going to have a difficult day in my workplace. I'm going to have to live for you, Lord, at school or at university or in the home. Lord, I need help. I need power. What do you do? He said, Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. He said, where would you get that in the Bible? Well, let me show you. In Luke chapter 11, verse 13, the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking. And here's what he says. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that asked him? Notice the simplicity here in the words of the Son of God. He says, if we give good gifts to our children, which we do, of course, how much more, he says, will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit, listen, to them who asked him? We asked him. We get on our knees and we pray sincerely, prayerfully, believe him. Lord, fill me with thy Holy Spirit. And I say to you today, child of God, have you ever got alone with the Lord? Have you ever got on your knees and says, Lord, fill me with the Holy Spirit of God. Give me thy Holy Spirit. Because I want to walk in the Spirit. So you must be filled. You asked him. Of course you must be pure. I have to say that. The Lord would only give his Holy Spirit to those who are living holy and pure lives before him. If we're not living right, if we're not doing that which is right, if a child of God's playing around with sin, then how can we expect God to give us his Holy Spirit? Our bodies are the temple of God, and the Holy Spirit dwelleth within us. How can I know the fullness and the power of the Spirit of a living God in my life if I said, as I said, we're playing around with sin? We must be pure. Now, we're not perfect. I'm not perfect. Any child of God in this meeting, we're not perfect. We strive to be perfect. Do we want to know the fullness of the Spirit of God in our life? Then be pure. Now, there's a reference. I'll give it to you. In Acts 5, verse 32. And the apostle said, and we are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. Those are words. God gave the Holy Ghost to who? They said very simply and very clearly for everyone to hear that he gave his Holy Spirit to them who obey him. And so do I want to know something of the fullness of the Spirit of God in my life, then I must obey him. I must obey him. If I want to walk with God, if I want to walk in the Spirit of God, I must obey him. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 5, verse 22, Paul was writing to young Timothy. And he gave him very good instruction. He says to Timothy, keep thyself pure. That's a message to all of us. We want to live right and do right and walk right in this world. And you've got to keep right. Got to keep yourself pure. And so this fullness of the Holy Spirit is commanded. And then the conditions. We are, of course, to pray and to be pure. And then, I say this to you, we are to present ourselves to God. Now, I'm going to read a wonderful words in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. And Paul writing to the believers, he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. But Paul writing to these people, and notice, he says, I beseech you. He's crying out to this people. He wants them to do something. And what does he want them to do? That they would put their bodies on the altar for God. They present their bodies, a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. Notice, a living sacrifice. Because when you're dead, your chance is over. That's why I'm saying to you here, the fullness of the Holy Spirit of God. If I want to walk in the Spirit, then I must know what it is to be filled with God, the Holy Spirit, you see. And so what happened? We lay ourselves down before the Lord. And we say, Lord, I give myself to thee. I'm fed up with the world. I'm fed up, Lord, with struggling through this world. I want to live a holy life. I want to live a pure life. I want to live a powerful life for Thee, Lord. So, Lord, I give myself to Thee. Fill me with Thy Holy Spirit. And then, you walk in the Spirit. Now we can do it. When you've done this, when you've started here, we notice by starting the race last week, you must start with, listen, if you're going to walk in the Spirit, then let's start right. Let's start with the Holy Spirit of the living God. Let's start with the Lord controlling us and filling us, empowering us. Let us get alone with God and cry unto God that He might fill us with the Holy Spirit. This is what we've got to do. D.L. Moody said, you might as well try to see without eyes, hear without ears, or breathe without lungs, as to try to live the Christian life without the Holy Spirit. And they're true words. How can we walk with God? How can you and I live with God today? We need the power of the Spirit of the living God. That is fundamental. That's why Paul, writing to these believers, says, listen, make sure of this. Be filled with the Spirit of a living God. And I'm showing you in simple terms here today of getting alone with God and saying, Lord, fill me with Thy Spirit. I'm not saying you're going to see signs and wonders. You will not see signs and wonders. I'm not saying you're going to come out with some strange language. You will not. The sign of the fullness of the Spirit of God is power and purity. So, walking in the Spirit, well, let's start the beginning. Let's say, Lord, fill me with Thy Holy Spirit. I say it to all of us. I'm preaching to myself here this morning as well. If we're going to walk in the Spirit of God, then we've got to be filled with the Spirit of the living God. And ask God. Ask God, the Holy Spirit, to come into your heart and life and to control you. Then also, can I say another lesson by walking in the Spirit? I want to speak about following the Spirit of God. If you're walking in the Spirit, it means that we as a people, we are following the Spirit. You look at verse 18 of this particular chapter. If ye being led of the Spirit, notice the terminology here. It talks about being led of the Spirit. Romans 8 and verse 14 tells us actually the same truth. For he says, for as many as are led, and notice the words, by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And notice here this truth that's brought out for us here in the Word of God. The Christian, I'm talking here about the true born-again Christian, those who are trusting Christ as Savior. We are led. We are led by the Spirit of the living God. He leads us. And we follow. We follow the Spirit of God. This is walking in the Spirit. We're following Him. We sang that great hymn this morning. A tremendous hymn, I trust. It was a blessing to your heart. It certainly was a blessing to my heart. He leadeth me. O blessed thought, O words with heavenly comfort fraught. Where'er I do, where'er I be, still 'tis God that leadeth me. He leadeth me. He leadeth me. By His own hand, He leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by His hand, listen, He leadeth me. And if we are going to walk by the Spirit of God, then He leads us. And He leads us, and what happens then? We follow Him. And if we are walking in the Spirit, then we're following the Holy Spirit. He leads us. He leadeth me. And I say this to you. The Spirit of God will lead you to the truth of the Scriptures. You will find that one of the ministries and duties of the Holy Spirit is to instruct the people of God about the truth that's found in the Word. We find in John's Gospel, chapter 16 and verse 13, the Lord Jesus now was telling us about the coming of the Spirit of the living God into this world. And He was telling us here what He was going to do when He came into the world. And we read these words in John chapter 16 and verse 13. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, for whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. You see, the Holy Spirit is the divine teacher of the Word of God. He illuminates the eyes and the minds of God's people. And you know, when we follow Him, He leads us into God's Word. He leads us to the truth of the Scriptures. We're not left in the darkness. He brings before us the simple teachings of the Word of the living God. He leads us. We follow Him. You can see in Galatians chapter 1 and verse 6, the Apostle Paul writing here at this church, he says, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from Him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. The Apostle Paul had only been beginning to write this epistle to these people. He says, I marvel at this. Something has happened in your congregation. Something has happened in your church. You have moved to another gospel. They weren't following the Spirit of God. They weren't following the Holy Ghost. If they were walking in the Spirit, they would not be moved to another gospel. No, the Holy Spirit will lead you to the truths that are found in the Word of the living God. And so if you and I are walking in the Spirit, we follow the Spirit of God. He'll lead us through the Bible. He'll lead us into the truths that are found in the Word of the living God. We follow Him. I asked you this morning, do you know anything about the fullness, the power of the Spirit of God in your life? And you're following Him. He's leading you through God's Word. He'll lead you also to testify to the Savior. There are numerous examples, of course, of the Holy Spirit's ministry dealing with people and leading people in the New Testament. You think for Acts, for instance, there in Philip's life, the evangelist. It says in chapter 8, verse 29, then the Spirit says unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. Now, this was Ethiopian eunuch. And there he was, a man who was searching for the way of salvation. But notice what happened, because Philip was walking in the Spirit. And the Spirit says to Philip, go up to this chariot. Go to this man. Go and tell him the way of salvation, in other words. He has been led of the Spirit. The Spirit was controlling him. You find the same words there in the do with Apostle Paul and Barnabas or Saul, sorry, in Acts chapter 13, verse 2, and they ministered to the Lord and fasted. The Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. Now notice what it tells us here. The Holy Ghost says, the Spirit of God is guiding. The Spirit of God is leading. And notice what is happening. These men are following. They're following. He leadeth me. He leadeth me. And child of God, He leads us. I don't know about you, but I need somebody to lead me in this world. Everyone in this meeting does. Young Christian in this meeting, you need somebody to lead you through this life, through this world. Well, here's how we get through the world. It tells us to walk in the Spirit. Let us know the fullness and power of the Spirit of God in our life. Let us follow Him. Let us say, Lord, take my hand. Lead me. Let me follow Thee. Let me, Lord, live for Thee. Let me be a servant of Thine. Because maybe you have some people who are on your heart and you want to see them come to Christ. You want to know what to say. You want to witness to your neighbor. Maybe over the fence. Or maybe in the workplace. It may be in school. Maybe doors are closed. The Lord, lead me. If you walk in the Spirit, you follow Him. He leads us. He leads us away from sin. Remember, he's a spirit of holiness. Romans 1 verse 4 talks about according to the spirit of holiness. And I want you to think of this. If I'm walking in the spirit of God, and if I'm following this Lord in my life, it stands to sense he will not be leading me into sin. He will not be leading me to do that which is wrong. He will not be leading me to say that which is wrong. It is the Holy Spirit of the living God controlling our steps. He leads us away from sin. And we're following him. And so if we're walking in the Spirit, then we follow him. And this is where he leads me. He leads me away from places of immorality. He leads me away from sin. He wants me to be more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ, you see. Oh, child of God, you and I can never blame God for our sin. That's walking in the flesh. But we walk in the Spirit. We walk away from sin. We think of the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. It says in Luke 4, verse 1, and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Notice those words about Christ. He was led by the Holy Spirit. He was led to go here, go there. If you and I are going to walk in the Spirit, then let's follow him. I asked you, are you following the Holy Spirit in your life? Is he leading you today and you're following him? He leads you to the Word of God. He leads you in your witness for Christ. He leads you away from sin. Well, let's walk today. I want to walk like this. In this world, this is the way God wants us to walk. He wants us to walk in the Spirit. That's why here the Apostle Paul, right into this church, says, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us do this. These words are not just written down to fill up a verse in the Bible. That's how we are to walk. Lord, lead me. Lord, fill me. Lord, guide me. Do you need guidance today? Do you need power today? I do. You do. Well, the Holy Spirit of God has come into the world to lead us and to guide us. Then can I say another lesson about walking in the Spirit? There's a fullness of His Spirit and, of course, the following of His Spirit. The freeness of His Spirit. What freedom there is for one who walks in the Spirit of God. There's a great text, and it's over 2 Corinthians 3 and the verse 17. Here's what it says. Now, this Lord is that Spirit. Now, there's a verse that shows the deity of the Holy Spirit, which is not our sermon this morning. But there's a verse for you. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 17. Now, the Lord is that Spirit. Notice these words. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Now, the word liberty means freedom. And Paul, writing to this church, says, where the Spirit of God is, here is something you will find. You'll find freedom. There'll be liberty. There'll be freedom where the Spirit of God is. So it stands to sense, if we walk in the Spirit as Christians, then we know the freedom of the Holy Spirit. Now, could I say this? You know freedom from the power of sin. You see that there, in Romans chapter 6, verse 14, for sin shall not have dominion over you. God tells us very clearly. Sin shall not have dominion over you. The devil says he will. The devil says sin will have dominion over you. But the Bible says sin shall not. It used to have, of course, before we came to Jesus Christ and were saved. But not anymore. He set us free. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. If you notice those words, this I say then, walk in the Spirit. And notice how he continues, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walking in the Spirit means there's freedom from sin. I not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You can read them. We read them together there in verses 20 and verse 21, all about the lust of the flesh. Terrible, terrible wickedness. Terrible, terrible sins. How do we get the victory over these sins? You walk in the Spirit. And if you walk in the Spirit, then you're not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You're not go to that place you shouldn't go. You're not look at that thing you shouldn't look at. You're not do that thing you shouldn't do. Why is this? Because you're walking in the Spirit of God. And you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So there's this freedom. This freedom in walking in the Spirit of God. Freedom from sin. I said to you, Chad, maybe you're struggling with some issues in your life and in your heart. He said, I struggle. Well, I asked you, are you walking in the Spirit? Are you making provision for the flesh? Because if you make provision for the flesh, then you'll sin according to the flesh. But how do we know this power? Then we walk in the Spirit. And there's freedom from sin. There's freedom from fear. There are many things in life that cause fear in the hearts and lives of the children of God. Maybe death. Maybe enemies that will come against us. It may be the devil. But the one who walks in the Spirit has liberty, has power. He has freedom over the world, over the flesh, and over the devil. You see, he's walking in the Spirit. And he knows the leading. He knows the power of the Spirit of the living God in his life. The Lord Jesus says in John 14, verse 18, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. The Holy Spirit has come to help us through this world. It takes away all fear. We sing that hymn, I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk the narrow way, for the hand of God in all my life I see. And the reason of my bliss, yes, the secret, all is this, that the Comforter abides with me. He abides. Hallelujah. He abides with me. I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk the narrow way. Why? For the Comforter abides with me. You see, there's freedom. We have freedom from sin. We have freedom from fear. We have freedom from this old world. Our mind, our affections, our attentions are not set on the world, but set upon things that are above. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 2, he says, set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. And so the person who's walking in the Spirit of God, his affection, his desires, everything is placed whereabouts on things above. The one who walks according to the Spirit of God sets his affections above. This is to help you and I through life. Why do we struggle? Because we walk many times according to the flesh. Why do we have disappointments in this world? Because we set our affections on things below. And you find out very quickly, if you're a young Christian, the things below will disappoint you. You see, walking in the Spirit, we follow him. There's a freeness. There's liberty. I'm not saying you have no more problems. I'm not saying you have no more trials or troubles. But there's freedom. We're following him. There's freedom from sin and from fear and from the pull and the desire that this old world would have over us, you see. And if you want to know the victory, then let's walk in the Spirit of God. Ask God to fill you, to control you. Could I say something very quickly and lastly about the fruits of the Spirit? If I'm walking in the Spirit of God, it's going to have a tremendous impact in our lives, in my life and your life. And you see that in this particular passage, because Apostle Paul says, verse 22, but he talked about the works of the flesh in verse 20 and verse 21. Terrible works, terrible wickedness, terrible sin. Then he says the words, but the whole picture changes. And he went down to give a list about the fruit of the Spirit of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. He tells about the variety of the fruit in the life of the one who's walking in the Spirit. All their names. Love. Peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Now, I don't know about you, but I need all of these in my life. I need them. I need love. I need joy. I need peace. I need long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and meekness and temperance. I need all of these things in my life. Well, how am I going to get them? By walking in the Spirit. That's the fruits of it. There's benefits in living such a life. This is the fruit of the Spirit. Look at the variety of it. Look at the unity of this fruit. He says in verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit. And notice I didn't say but the fruits of the Spirit. There's only one fruit. They're all one complete package. You just cannot come to this verse and take one of them and say, well, I'll take joy, or I'll take love, or I'll take long-suffering, or I'll take meekness. No, the complete package. It's for all of us. And if I walk in the Spirit of a living God, this is how I'm going to live. This is how I'm going to be, you see. And when we live such a life, then this is the way we live according to these words. The Lord Jesus had all of these fruits in his life. Look at his character. He had love and joy and peace, long-suffering and gentleness and goodness, faith. He had all of these things. Why? He walked in the Spirit of God. So I close in our meeting now. I said to you, we have been to Bethlehem. We've prayed. We've run a race. Let us walk today. From this day forward, you say, I want to walk like this. I want to live like this. I want your Lord to come into my heart and life and change me, so that I can live for thee. That I can know victory over the world and victory over sin. That I can be more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. That this fruit of the Spirit will be seen in my life. And then ask the Lord to fill you with his Holy Spirit. And let's walk in the Spirit. Let us be spiritual Christians. So many Christians seem worldly minded today. Let us be spiritual Christians. And to walk and to live in the Spirit of a living God. Maybe you're not saved this morning. We pray the Lord will touch your heart and you begin to walk with God. And you'll turn from sin. And trust the Lord Jesus this morning as your own and your personal Savior. So let us then walk. Let us walk in the Spirit of the living God. May God write his word upon our hearts. Let's just close in a wee word of prayer. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank you for being with us. And Lord, we have heard today about the victory of living in this world, living over temptation and sin, and living for thee. Lord, let us walk in the Spirit of God. That's just by faith. That's just humbly, reverently, and wholly before thee. Direct our steps. Lead us, Lord. And let us be a people who will follow thee. Now I pray that, Lord, that the blessing of the triune God, the Father, and the Son, the Holy Spirit, the rest from me and abide upon each and every one of us until we meet again in Jesus' name. Amen.